Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today is the second part in a series that I'm doing about what to focus on depending on the stage of recovery that you are at. So the previous episode, I talked about being bedbound. And in this episode today, I am talking about being housebound. And what I will say is obviously with all of these different stages, there's a transition which happens from one stage to the next. So at exactly which point do you declare yourself no longer bedbound but housebound? And exactly which point do you transition from being housebound to now ready to go back to work? There's probably gray areas in between, which means that I can't necessarily always capture every little piece of nuance of every single case. You know, we know that people experience chronic fatigue and energy limiting illnesses for so many different reasons, and every case is different. So hopefully there will still be something in these episodes that will be supportive for you or resonate with you. And I hope you enjoy this episode. Before we move into it, just a reminder, if you haven't already, to please leave a review on the podcast. You can just leave 5 stars on Spotify or on iTunes. It would make me very, very grateful because your reviews help improve the podcast ratings. It helps people find the podcast and then get the information and support that they might be looking for. If you want to go one step further, if you found this useful, you could also share the podcast with maybe a specific person that you know or someone in or people in a community that you're part of, and I would be so grateful. So enough from me about that, and let's talk about some things to consider when being housebound. If you haven't already listened to the previous episode on being bedbound, I'm assuming you may, a lot of people aren't going to listen to all the episodes. They're just going to listen to the episodes that are relevant to them. Maybe you haven't listened to that episode, but you might want to, at least in the beginning where I discuss a little bit about the nervous system and how the nervous system, I feel, is one of the most important things when people are at that stage of their journey. Often when people arrive at a state where they're bedbound, they're essentially immobile to a degree, then that can really be because of these dorsal states of the nervous system, the freeze, collapse, shutdown experience. And we really have to work at helping the nervous system feel that there is a relative sense of safety so that it can gently thaw and come out of that freeze. And we can't rush ourselves out of freeze. We can't force ourselves out of freeze. We can't meditate our way out of freeze. It's a very gentle and slow process, which I ultimately feel comes down to attunement. And attunement is the ability to connect with ourselves and meet ourselves where we are. And I would say that's probably one of the most valuable skills that anyone can learn, especially as they navigate this journey. So whether you are bedbound or housebound or going back to work or somewhere in between, attunement, which ultimately is connecting to your body and understanding its needs and meeting yourself where you are, is going to be one of the most important things. And it's an ongoing process. As we come more into the world, whether that's going from being bedbound to housebound or being housebound to not leaving the house, we have to build our capacity to tolerate all the stresses and all the joy that that's going to bring. And therefore, ongoing nervous system support is the thread that runs through it all. And that is not just meditating or doing yoga nidras or doing some yoga. We really have to, yes, do all of those things, but also build our capacity to be with stress, to feel our own anxiety, to feel our fear, to feel our depression, to feel our frustration, to feel our hopelessness, to feel our grief, to feel our anger. We have to be able to work with all of that too. And that's something that I teach in the Nurturing Resilience subscription. So if you feel like you're doing all the yoga nidras and meditations and you're just not noticing a change in your system, it might be because you're unintentionally avoiding some of the capacity building. So this is something we want to continue to do as we move through the process. And as you move from bedbound to housebound, you're going to come into contact with more activating things, and you want to continue to build your capacity to be with those more activating things. So nervous system support runs all the way through. But in addition to that, once you are no longer bedbound, but you're housebound, there are more things that we can start to do to support ourselves. And one of the most powerful things I think that someone can do is create a routine and a rhythm. I spoke a little bit in the previous episode about how we can do that when we're bedbound. But if you're housebound, you now have the ability to hopefully view some morning light. And maybe even if you have a garden or a balcony or some outside space, to maybe be outside as much as possible. And this is really, really important for your mast cells. These circadian rhythms and light-dark cycles, they are a management strategy for your mast cells. And I was talking about this with another practitioner the other day. I was like, everybody wants to take a supplement. Everybody wants to take quercetin or DAO, but nobody wants to just sit outside all day or spend time in nature. And I appreciate that there are limitations sometimes because of, you know, many various reasons, perhaps the physical ability to get outside or just nowhere to go if you live in a city or something like that. But if you can get outside, you really want to be viewing morning light, 3 minutes on a sunny day, 10 minutes on a cloudy day, and 20 minutes on a very cloudy day. And just spend as much time as possible out in nature if you can. Obviously, if you're still housebound, it might just be in a garden or a balcony, or even a really big window that you just open. But if you can, that would be a really, really good step now that you can get out of bed. And then ongoing pacing is also going to be really important. A lot of people that I work with use the visible armband. Some people quite like the Garmin watch because they have the body battery and the stress score, which is what I personally use because I was ill before visible and I found it really useful. But you don't even need apps or watches to pace yourself. You just need to learn how to pace. And I do have an episode on pacing, so you can always listen to that if needed. Another little piece of advice that came from someone on Instagram is also moving into different rooms for different parts of the day when you're doing different activities, just so you're creating a structure and a rhythm and a routine to your day. So it just creates that variety, and it sort of signals to your body that, you know, you're doing different things. It just creates a little bit more flexibility and rhythm for your system. So we really want to create routine, morning light viewing, and pacing, and nervous system work. Those are some of the foundations when we're housebound. And then maybe just kind of thinking more practically, you can still be using convenience services. So getting your groceries delivered, maybe you have a meal service delivery. If you're well enough now to have a shower, you could have a shower stool that you use just to make life a bit easier. Sometimes people are like, oh no, that's for the really sick people. I'm not sick enough. And I used to be one of these people that I would constantly struggle just because I was so used to pushing through all the time. And it was really hard for me just to accept things that would make life a little bit easier. And I, you know, I would be the person who'd say, no, I don't need a shower stool. I'm fine. I can't shower on my own. But actually maybe getting the shower stool would just be like, yes, I can shower on my own, but this means I'm less exhausted afterwards. So it kind of also links with this, you know, really accepting things that make life easier and that we don't have to struggle and we don't have to push through all the time. It's okay for things to be easier. And also to ask for help. You know, even in my journey, I remember like I always insisted on cooking every single meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And, you know, there was a benefit to that because I've always liked cooking. I liked being in control of my food. I could eat what I wanted and make it how I wanted. And it was just something that made the day a little bit more interesting when, you know, I was at home all the time. But it was also tiring. So you kind of have to like balance it out. You know, it's okay to ask for help, even for the things that you know you can do. It might just free up a little bit more energy for something else, a bit more fun. And also just setting small, tangible goals. So we're not setting these massive goals and then feeling like a failure when we don't hit them, but just setting, you know, small little goals and we just work away at them, chipping away one step at a time, because that's a lot less threatening for the nervous system than trying to achieve these massive, big things. So relying on conveniences, but also not being afraid to get help in, to, you know, ask family members for help, ask people to cook for you, ask people to drop off meals, ask people to help clean, get a cleaner in if you can afford it, and get things that help and make your life easier so you can put more energy into the things that feel good, because you don't want your whole day to be just life admin and trying to get everything done and then there's nothing left for your own enjoyment. So that brings me to the next thing, which is hopefully now that your body is, you know, less in the sort of shutdown state, there is a greater access to joy and just connection. You know, when we're so shut down, we don't want to connect with people. It's really hard to feel joyful. But as things start to open up for us, we really find joy and gratitude in the small things. And I often just say to clients, you know, that like cup of tea in your favorite mug, or the little cat sleeping by your feet, or you know, a gift, a bunch of flowers that comes from a friend, or a meal that someone cooked for you, just to really find gratitude and appreciation in everything that you do have, instead of focusing on what you don't have or what you can't do, can be a really, really powerful thing. And that's not to minimize the loss and the frustration and the anger for all the things that you can't do, but just to say, while it's okay to feel angry and it's okay to feel frustrated and it's okay to feel the grief, don't let that completely rob us of the joy that's right in front of us. And then also just building more into connection. So perhaps now you have a little bit more capacity to connect with others who are having a similar experience to you. That might be, you know, various Facebook groups or WhatsApp groups or Instagram groups, or, you know, whatever it is. It could be online classes. You know, having some sort of community which helps you feel less alone can be really supportive. We do have to be really careful with certain communities. If it's the type of community where people are complaining, very negative, very down, that can really bring you down. Where it's a community of people who are solution-focused, joy-focused, connection-focused, cheerleading, supportive, uplifting, that can really make a, you know, fantastic difference to your day-to-day. And in addition to this, pets are wonderful things that we can connect with. Some pets can be higher maintenance than others, and I wouldn't necessarily suggest go get a pet unless you, maybe it's like a hamster or like a senior cat or something, although senior cats could probably also still be challenging if you've got to clean up vomit or change litter trays or, you know, whatever it is. But maybe you already have a pet, maybe there's someone in your home who can help care for the pet while you just really enjoy the benefits of having a pet, and those snuggles can be really nice. I know I've got two cats, and having cats, especially when you've got to spend a lot of time lying down and resting, it just feels, you just feel a lot less alone if you've got a little cat sleeping next to you. And maybe you're a bit grumpy about the fact that you have to be resting again, but the cat's just there and it's super happy and it's just nice to be there with it and all cuddled up. And you might also be ready at this point in time to have people come visit. It is really important that you set boundaries with visitors. You know, I think if if someone is coming to visit you when you're housebound with chronic fatigue, they should bring the food, they should bring the drinks, they should bring the treats, they should bring the bunch of flowers. You shouldn't be playing hostess, and they should just show up with good energy, not showing up to dump their emotional challenges on you, because you're probably just going to have no capacity for it. So showing up with all the things, showing up with good energy, and then also not overstaying their welcome. That might involve a little bit of communication on your side, you know, requesting whatever it is that you need, and also knowing what your limits are. You might not know. So the conversation might be around, when I say I'm done, I'm done. Please don't linger. Like, I'm literally done. Or you have a time limit. And even if you set an alarm and just be like, right, time's up. And you know, I guess for some people that could probably seem a little bit insensitive, but I think with the right people, they will respect your boundaries and they won't take it personally, and they'll just be so happy that they got to see you, I hope. So that can also be a joyful thing and help to support the nervous system come more into regulation if we're connecting with the right people. So then on a more physical side of things, there might be a little bit more capacity now to start to think about how you support your body physically. Obviously, different people have fatigue for different reasons, and the things that I mentioned here might not be appropriate for everyone, but there might be some things may be appropriate for you and some things not for others. But as I said, when someone is bedbound, the real focus is just getting a little bit more aliveness back in their system. But if you're up and you can move around the house and you can do certain things, then you might be ready to take on a little bit more. And things that I think would maybe be important to think about would be thinking about drainage and detoxification. So that could be if you can bath, like having an Epsom salt bath. If you can tolerate it at home, sauna blanket could be helpful. They can be a little bit messy and maybe energy demanding to clean up afterwards, so maybe you could get some help with that. Manual lymphatic drainage techniques, if you have the energy to do that, that could be another consideration. If you've got the energy to do some gentle rebounding, that could also be potentially supportive for drainage and detoxification. A lot of people, especially people with mold, especially people with mast cell issues, they have a detox problem. So we do, when you're just in bed and you're stagnant and you're not moving a lot, that's counterproductive for our detoxification system. So we, as the body is ready and as the body allows, we do want to start getting things moving to support the clearance of things from the body. In the previous episode, talking about being bedbound, I mentioned that digestive support could be helpful. So that could potentially be something that is ongoing. And maybe now, if you are more mobile around the home, if you have a little bit more energy, you maybe are better equipped to cook your own meals, or you have a partner that you can help, who can help you cook some of your own meals, which might then allow you to now follow some more specific dietary protocols if necessary. You know, whether that is a low histamine diet or a low oxalate diet or low FODMAP diet or keto or paleo, or, you know, all the different diets we can try. There's like an endless list. But you know, when someone is bedbound, unless they're incredibly invested in it and they've got a lot of support, I wouldn't necessarily prioritize strict dietary protocols. But as things open up, it could be something worth exploring for you. You could also, if you hadn't already explored it while bedbound, consider nutritional deficiencies, making sure you've got enough minerals, making sure you've got enough electrolytes, just making sure that your body has everything that it needs, that it's well nourished, to maybe prepare you for some more strenuous detoxification protocols. Specifically, what I would be talking about here, things that often throw people a little bit, would be taking antimicrobial herbs for things like fungal overgrowth or yeast overgrowth or bacterial overgrowth or parasite cleanses, which can sometimes knock the system a little. So those are things that I would usually introduce with someone when they have enough strength in their system to tolerate it. And that's probably somewhere in the transition stage of being housebound to then maybe going out into the world again, but not necessarily going back to work per se. Because you might not want to be going back to work at the same time you're also detoxing mold. So every case is different and it all depends on what the person's got going on in their unique capacity. But we might just want to be gently building and setting the foundations for more at this point in time. The final thing I have here is just gentle movement. You know, once you are able to get up and move around the house, you may then feel that you could do some movement. In the beginning, that could just be a restorative yoga class, so actually not that much movement at all, but it might be preparing you for things which come later. And the restorative yoga could be some gentle stretching or yin yoga, which is perhaps a little bit more intense. And then a bit more of a dynamic or gentle yoga flow or a little bit of qigong. Some people might even have a walking pad, or they might then leave the house and then just walk around the block, which is like 5 minutes. And at this point in time, one could argue, are you housebound or are you not housebound? And this is the gray area, I guess, but there's going to be this transition where you're now ready to get outside and walk around the block, even if you have to sit on a bench like halfway and then come back again, whatever is manageable. Or you might just actually start to become more physically active with little jobs around the home. So cleaning the bathroom, although I would probably say get someone else to do that because we generally tend to use more chemicals in the bathroom. But maybe washing the dishes, vacuuming, dusting, you know, whatever it is, just slowly starting to become a little bit more active in a way that our body allows, and then making sure that the pacing is ongoing. So as we're moving throughout our day, we're having these periods of activity and then periods of rest. And I think this is where that there is this transition stage. So as I said already, like, what if you can walk around the block, are you still housebound? There's going to probably be, from being housebound, this like opening up which happens. Now you can go for like a little walk. Maybe now you can go out to a coffee shop and have tea. Or maybe you can go to the grocery store or whatever it might be. There's a little bit more and a little bit more, which is happening all the time. And, you know, some people will then maybe at this point think, oh, I can go back to work. Whereas other people really want to build up their ability to go out in the world and do things more before they go back to work. And this can come down to personal preference. It can also come down to necessity. And sometimes I work with clients and they have, you know, they have to go back to work because they need to earn the money, or their sick pay is ending and then they won't be earning an income. So there's lots of personal reasons why people do things the way that they do. But hopefully from what I've shared today, you kind of do have a sense of some of the most important things when you are at this stage. And then really what we're just doing is we're just gradually letting things unfold. And maybe when you are doing a little bit more and you are out of the house a little bit more, this is where you could engage with the antimicrobial herbs. You could even do like sauna and cold plunge if it's tolerated. You could be walking outside more and doing more physical activities. Maybe you even go back to the gym before you go back to work. But you can't do everything at once. And so it's really important also to just focus on one aspect of your life at a time. Build up some of your physical capacity to exercise. Then maybe you just hold that at maintenance. Then you build up some of your capacity to socialize. And then you just hold that at maintenance. Then maybe you take on a more complex protocol like antimicrobial herbs. And then that might mean you actually have to take a step back on some things just in the short term, instead of trying to build up physical exercise, build up socializing, and then start a really much more intensive detox protocol all at once. And that's just a recipe for a setback and a flare, really, because you're trying to expand in too many directions, too much, too soon, which is the opposite of what the all-important nervous system normally needs. So hopefully that has given you a little bit of an insight into things that you could consider while housebound. The next thing that I'll be talking about is going back to work, and that should complete the series.